Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bart Winkler here on The Fan, about to be joined by Brian Scalabrine, our Odyssey NBA insider, as we will be throughout the playoffs. Insider calls brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Should that have been a three and the Bucks lose, we're talking to Scal about, who's the Bucks' next coach going to be? Is Chris Middleton, he's a good player, but is he the right piece next to Giannis? How does this team go from here? Why does the world exist? Why are sports the way they are? It get pretty deep and dark. But that was a two. And then the Bucks won in overtime. So now we're breaking down a series against the Hawks. Scal joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Brian Scalabrine, thank you for a couple of minutes. Just the whole weekend in general, but what a game seven that was on Saturday night between the Bucks and the Nets.
Let me ask you, we all have our own perspectives of watching things. Did you actually think the Bucks were going to win that game? I thought the Bucks were going to win the series. I thought they were going to win the game to start the game. But as that game is going along, I had zero faith that they were going to figure out a way. And I think you got to give their defense a ton of credit for figuring it out. Maybe Durant ran out of gas. The Nets in overtime were just they could not find a bucket. And I think an underrated play, you remember when Giannis had Durant in the post and he backed him down? He hit Durant's body three times, got a jump hook, rolled around the rim, and dropped. Kevin Durant didn't make a field goal from there. I wonder if that possession where Durant fought Giannis and he ended up giving up the bucket, I wonder if that possession ultimately spent Kevin Durant for the rest of the game.
That was a huge moment. It was finally the first bucket for the Bucks in overtime. I thought at 109-105 in regulation, I thought, oh my God, they could do this. And then KD hits two shots, including the one you just heard the highlight of. Overtime seemed very bad because the Nets scored right away, but then nobody could make a shot. I don't know how we're not. I mean, you and I are two people that talk on the phone. We're not that close, but I'm going to tell you this. I watched the second half in my boxers, Scal. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I've never done that. I've been watching sports for 37 years. I've never felt this way. I couldn't watch the game with my clothes on.
And guess what? I've been around sports my whole life. I've never heard of that.
So. I don't know how to explain it. So I'm just asking people, has this ever happened to you? I don't know even why I brought that up to you. I'm just still so happy that they won on Saturday. They do win on Saturday. A great defensive effort. Everybody turning things around and Middleton starting slow, Drew starting slow. Finally, things worked out. And what a game. I think you mentioned the play on Giannis. He needed this game. And I know it's just game seven in the semifinals. There's still a lot to go. But I'm just only imagining what the narrative is on Giannis if he doesn't get over the hump on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of it. It's amazing, as good as he is, doesn't play with the most poise, there's playing basketball, there's participating in basketball, and then there's winning. And I don't know how much you followed the opposite end of the spectrum, Michael Jordan, even LeBron James for that matter. Those guys are playing such a strategic game. It's a game within a game, a possession within a possession. I'm going to do this now, and later on I'm going to do that. Like, all those things. Like, Giannis doesn't do any of those things. And obviously what you would hope for is for Giannis to grow into that type of player. And maybe, like, going to the NBA Finals or beating the Atlanta Hawks or being in a grueling series where you sort of out-duel Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he played better than Durant, but, like, you know, you beat the Nets, and that's a big win no matter how you slice it. Maybe he'll grow from this moment, and I think you're right. I think Giannis, as two-time MVP, is really accomplished, and he's always been about, like, I'm trying to win. I want to win a championship. Like, MVPs don't mean anything to me. I really want to be the last man standing. I do think he'll grow from this series because the Milwaukee Bucks at times, you have to, like, scratch your head about their basketball IQ, including, like, Budenholzer calling a timeout and running the play for Lopez, which I wouldn't have done. And then, secondly, like, yo, Lopez passing the ball. Like, what are you doing out there?
So, yeah, they're a dumb team. Barkley was right. They are dumb.
Yeah, but they're gifted, and they have individual players that can rise up at any moment. Like, Drew Holiday was amazing in the fourth and to get that lead. Middleton, I think, it's just the guy is as solid as they get in Giannis. But if their IQ continues to improve, then you're talking about sort of a legacy and a dynasty with this group.
Man, I'm just trying to think of beating the series against the Hawks, which, you know, as we talked to Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA insider here on The Fan, you look at the series, and, yeah, there's, you know, the Hawks are good. They got here for a reason. We all thought it would be the Sixers, but the Hawks certainly got here for a reason. And while, you know, matchups are going to go whatever way they go and things will happen, I'm trying to talk myself out of the way I feel, but I feel like the Bucks. I mean, I think five games, I just feel very confident. And the Bucks are what I know, Scal, is that the Bucks are the better team. How the series goes, we don't know, but the Bucks, right there, they are the better team at least.
You know, when you do the matchup game, it's not even close. I understand that. But Trae Young, and we were just talking about the high IQ or the low IQ of the Bucks at times. Like, Trae Young is off the charts. Like, you see the way that he picks apart defense. He played awful and yet found a way to beat Philadelphia in game seven on their home court. So he's probably going to be the smartest player in the series, but size comes into play. Like, there's no way. The way the Bucks play offense, there is no hiding. There's no Julius Randle out there, not, you know, like, or with the Knicks, the way that they played offense, or even there's no Ben Simmons out there. Like, the Bucks are offensively going to be really tough for Atlanta to stop. And even no one really talks enough about Clint Capella and how good he is defensively. I think it gets he's still going to be a great defensive player. It just gets a little bit negated because the Bucks don't have any offensive weaknesses out there. And Brook Lopez not making threes when Kevin Durant is posing at you at 7 foot and extremely athletic is going to be a lot different than Clint Capella sitting in the lane and Lopez teeing up for shots from three. So on paper, it's a 5 or 6 game series max, but that's why you play the game.
Yeah, I mean, we thought that the Nets were going to win this series in 5 or 6. Bucks win, and then we thought the Sixers would win, and now it's the Hawks. So when these two teams match up against each other, Trae Young's going to be a problem, obviously. Bogdanovich was kind of a buck for kind of a night, and so we're going to have a lot of attention to him. With Trae Young was stopping him, is Drew Holiday the right option there? Is it the only option?
Well, it's not just that. It's like it's his pick and roll. So I know, like, everyone looks at the matchup of the guard. It actually falls onto Giannis or Lopez, or even if Bobby Portis makes a resurgence here, it's going to fall onto one of those guys, because once Trae Young is getting downhill, it's the big responsibility at that point to play too. And Embiid, who is legit, like, he's legit at defending that restricted area. He even got blitzed, with Trae Young going over the top, shooting the floater or throwing it up to Clint Capella. So there's a lot of pressure on, I think, either Brook Lopez or Giannis, depending on how they guard that. But obviously, it's not Trae Young just busting you one-on-one. Most of the time, he's a phenomenal pick-and-roll player. I've always said this about Trae Young. It was amazing. You know, in the NBA, they used the comparative thing. And everyone said Steph Curry, and I always thought he was Steve Nash. Like, I thought he was, like, more like Nash in his amazing passing ability and not necessarily like Steph Curry. Just because he shot 5 feet behind the line, it doesn't make you Steph Curry. So I think there's one thing that the Bucks are going to have to handle is that pick and roll with Capella rolling to the basket. And Lopez is, historically speaking, been really good at defending that particular play.
You know, there's, you know, how narratives work, Scal. Everybody's looking at these teams and saying, oh, there's no LeBron, there's no Curry, there's no whatever. I think the NBA is in a really good spot here because you're making the next generation of stars. You've got Giannis in the Bucks. You've got Devin Booker, who is becoming a star. You've got the Clippers, and then you've got Trae Young, like, I thought as good as it was for the Knicks to be in the playoffs, I think that is good for the NBA. I think it's even better that the Knicks have a villain again, and now it's Trae Young. I think that his star is rapidly rising, and for anyone to think, oh, the NBA, you know, for some reason, everyone can, nobody ever knows what the ratings are, but we always talk about ratings. Ah, ratings, ratings. These are going to be two good series with good basketball players and stars emerging.
You know what's interesting is normally, like, the formula for winning a championship has always been you have a top five player and you have a top 10 player, and that's how you usually win. Well, I don't think there's any of that on any team that is still left standing. You know, especially, like, I don't think Paul George, even though he's been playing really well, is a top 10 player. You know, Kawhi Leonard's a top five player. So, yeah, it's just really interesting with Trae Young, you know, the way that he can, like, and historically speaking, we talked about little guys not being able to, you know, play in the playoffs. They get exposed defensively. You can't, you know, design your team around a guy like that. It's just really, really, really difficult. The guy's been a star. He's not an average player. He's a star in the playoffs. And you don't even sense it defensively. So I think you're right about that. Like, I was watching, like, because it was game seven, my son, I usually put him to bed early, but I let him watch the game. And, like, as the game's going along, he likes Trae Young more and more. Like, he likes the feistiness of Trae Young and how, like, he's going against big bad Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and he's out there, like, making the most shots, and it doesn't matter that he was 1-for-13 from the field. He delivered late in the fourth quarter. So I'm with you. I think, and another thing about the NBA star, and this is how it usually goes, and you saw a little bit of this with Giannis. Like, if they would have lost the series, a lot of people would have turned on Giannis. Everyone loves Giannis, but a lot of people would have turned on him. Like, NBA stars, they build them up, but then eventually, like, people get sick and tired of the star, and they want a new star. I think that's what we're seeing right now with this particular playoff. Like, my son loves Terrence Mann, you know, like, it's like, this is how it goes. Like, like, everyone likes the new shiny toy, and that's what we're getting this year in the playoffs more than any other year we've ever seen.
What happened with Ben Simmons? I mean, this is almost the guy you have, like, heartbreak for, whatever's happening with him.
I don't have heartbreak. He's the one posting the workouts in the off season on Instagram. He's the one that comes up with all these motivational sayings and stuff like that. I don't buy that. This is, like, to me, this is professional sports, and it's professional sports. You know, you can't have false bravado, and that's really what he has. Look, Giannis doesn't shoot free throws either. The guy makes six in a row, and then, oh, I'm sorry, he airballs and then makes six in a row. He airballs again, makes, you know, four in a row. So the only thing about Ben Simmons is I don't care if he went 1-for-20 from the free throw line. Like, don't be afraid to get there. Just go and play the basketball you know how. Play basketball to get downhill, to attack, to get to the rim, to put, you know, Atlanta, put pressure on Atlanta's defense. Don't play basketball like you're just trying to hide out. If you watch that game, there are moments where he's open underneath the basket. He puts his hands down. He doesn't even want the ball. So I don't have any – this is – in the regular season, it's fine, but in the playoffs – like, it's probably good for the Sixers to see this, and probably good for Ben Simmons to go through this, the lowest point of his career. And he knows that he's afraid of having the basketball, and so does everybody else. And it does sometimes take the playoffs for people to see that and take the stats of a cumulative series for him to see that. So Ben Simmons has one or two choices here. He can tap out. He can blame other people. He can ask to be traded. He can do all these other things. Or he can get in the gym and not post it on Instagram and actually work on his game and work on his free throws and embrace the fact that he has some weaknesses which are costing your team or Joel Embiid's legacy.
Do you think the Sixers trade him? It seems like it's not in a good spot right now.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to, like, sell low in the NBA. Right now, Ben Simmons is sell low. But people are really optimistic that they might be able to figure him out. Or maybe, you know, teams that are muddling in mediocrity, they could – get a guy like that, he can help him take it over the hump, but he just can't win a championship. And sometimes that's the case. So I would think that he's on the market, especially with the stuff that Doc Rivers said afterwards, or even Joel Embiid said afterwards. It does seem like he might be on his way out. But I will just say, you never know what you're going to get in return, and sometimes trades don't work out. The biggest thing Ben Simmons can do is just embrace the fact that he was awful during this series, and he can get in the gym, and he can control this other stuff, because he's clearly talented. He's 6'10". Super athletic, can jump off both feet, dunk with both hands, finish around the rim. He could do all those things. He just has to get over the hurdle of the free throws. But if I was a betting man, I'm sure everyone in Philadelphia wants to trade Ben Simmons. But sometimes it's hard to make those deals and make it valuable for a team like the Sixers to get back to that championship level.
Brian Scalabrine, one of our Odyssey NBA insiders. You'll hear him throughout the country during these playoffs. When we chat on Monday, Scal, just remember, I'm the guy who watches Bucks games naked.
Oh, your boxers, you said. That's even worse.
Yeah, boxers, yeah. I couldn't go full right, Monty,
we'll
but I went
we'll talk
there.
Later.
Thanks, Scal. Brian Scalabrine joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up, and make the most of the stop you need to make. That, again, is Brian Scalabrine. He'll join us throughout the playoffs Mondays, 9:25. Here on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.